On this episode of The Diff, I talk to Jordan Walk, the creator of our most popular open source project, React, and the creator of the Reason programming language. Come learn about why React was born, why we created another programming language, and how both of these projects have impacted development both inside and outside of Facebook. Also, I find out the real name of Reason's package manager. Let's get to it. Thanks for joining me today, Jordan. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to discuss two of our most popular projects that we have, and I'm really interested in this conversation. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Thank you for having me on, Joel. I'm an engineer at Facebook, software engineer. Some of the things that I've worked on at Facebook are the ads interfaces, including the desktop experience, as well as mobile interfaces for ads. And then in addition to that, I've also founded the React project, along with starting the React Native project, along with a few other people there. And I've worked on, like I said, various products at Facebook and technologies and infrastructure. And recently I've started the Reason project, which really goes hand in hand with the React project. Along the way, I've contributed to other various open source projects. And some of those are under Facebook's guidance, and others aren't.
Yeah, you're one of our top contributors to our open source program. So I think probably a lot of people here know of you and know about you just based upon your open source contributions. So React is Facebook's flagship open source project, at least in my opinion. That's the one with the most followers. I think it gets the most press, and you know, has the most cachet in our whole portfolio.
Right.
So it has like 120,000 stars. It's in the top five GitHub projects, you know, overall, and out of any GitHub project in the world. I want to know, why did you invent React? Like, what was the problem you were trying to solve at the time? From what I understand, it was like initially to make commenting and liking Facebook posts, that whole experience, better, but I'm not sure if that's true. I want to get the information from you. So can you give us a little idea of what was going on there?
Sure. Making commenting and liking posts more interactive and responsive was one of the first use cases of React. But the story behind React's invention goes back much further. And these things, you know, they appear to have just kind of come up overnight, but really they take a lot of time to be able to iterate on these ideas to get them to the point where they actually have impact. And that's also true of React. So before commenting and liking was built with React on Facebook's site, my first experiments with this sort of programming model was on the ads team and some of our complex ads products. But going back even further before that, as far as I can recall, building UIs, like the standard way that people would build a UI, or if you were to follow a tutorial for how to build a UI and learn an application framework, those never really sat well with me. And something always bothered me about how we typically would build UIs and how we taught people how to build UIs. Every single framework out there that was even remotely popular had this philosophy of you create this tree of UI components, and then you go and update that tree later, and then you try to keep all of this in sync. And I found that really hard to do. And so React was born out of this frustration with the current way of doing things. And eventually React formed a coherent philosophy around how UI should be built. So if I could summarize that philosophy, it's that we should express our UI as a function of all the things that it depends on at any given point in time. And then we should just rerun that function in order to create a new description of what the UI should look like. And then we should reconcile that later in a separate phase of the application framework.
So this was probably back, 2011, 2012, right? When I think React was first conceived, right? What were the options available to you at the time before you decided to go off and invent this whole new framework? Like, could you have used some other frameworks that were off the shelf then to accomplish your goals? Or did you need React to accomplish something that those other frameworks couldn't provide? Like, what other alternatives did you consider?
Well, I seem to recall trying everything that existed that was available. I remember Dojo was around at the time. jQuery was sort of the predominant way that people were building UIs, at least in open source, maybe not at Facebook. There was also internal frameworks that we were using and developing called Yuki, another one called Bolt, which was also good. Like these, all of these things had good elements to them. And some of these ideas got brought into React as we know it today.
Did do you believe like other frameworks that have come after React have utilized some of the concepts that React brought about when it was developed? Like, you know, you have Vue.js and you have these other frameworks. Do they all take components from, you know, ideas from React, or are they totally different frameworks?
Well, I hear that they do. I mean, I don't use them that much, but I hear that they bring over a lot of the elements of React, and I do continually see new frameworks come out that are React inspired and take a lot of this philosophy of unidirectional data flow, functional descriptions of your application, and apply them to other languages or other toolkits.
So the whole development world knows about React. It's one of our most popular projects, obviously. We use it a lot internally. Where do you personally see React having the most impact, both within Facebook and at the community at large?
So I think that by far the biggest impact that React has had is that it has reoriented people's thinking about how to program in general. So it's convinced a lot of people to rethink how they express interactive programs. Like, instead of imperatively updating something on the screen, recreate a new version of the application that's similar to the old one, but with the differences applied. So I really think that React has caused people to appreciate that programming model more. And that would probably be its largest contribution to the development world.
Excellent. So I know you've invented React, but actually I was really super excited to talk today about Reason, which is another popular project that we have at Facebook, but it's one that may not be as widely known as React. And I really like to concentrate on some of the projects that maybe don't get as much coverage and don't get as much press. So I'm someone who loves programming languages. And so I really am excited to understand how Reason came to be. So like I asked you with React, I want to ask you the same thing about Reason. Like, why another programming language? Why did you invent Reason? And, you know, what made you think like, yeah, let's combine OCaml and JavaScript together and see what happens. Let's marry those two concepts.
Yeah, that's a great question. So first of all, a little bit more about what Reason is. So Reason is a new programming language toolchain that brings the philosophies of React down to the language level. So some of those philosophies that React has popularized are immutability as the default, functions as your primary abstraction, and we're seeing that even more so with the introduction of hooks. But also, in addition to that, Reason brings a world-class static type safety, static type system, along with an emphasis on performance across the board, including build time and runtime performance. So it's combining all these things that people have now appreciated thanks to React with performance and safety, and then delivering that in a new programming language toolchain. And so the way it accomplishes that, and the way it has accomplished that so in such a relatively short amount of time, is that it's building directly on top of the OCaml type system and compiler. But in doing so, it also is providing an experience that's friendly and familiar to JavaScript developers, even though it's building on top of this existing programming language infrastructure. So Reason doesn't layer on top of JavaScript, and instead it peels back a lot of the complexity of JavaScript and builds back on top of that, on top of a solid foundation, that while still resembling JavaScript and being familiar to JavaScript, but it's not JavaScript. So you get all these other additional features, such as first-class support for pattern matching and a more efficient compiled JavaScript output, and importantly, the ability to take Reason and compile it natively so that you don't even need a JavaScript VM at all. So we're bringing all of that and making it more accessible to JavaScript developers. And so why build on top of OCaml? At the time, it wouldn't have seemed like a likely candidate. But now, in retrospect, I think it's making a lot of sense to people. Some of the reasons that I thought OCaml would be a great choice is that it has an incredibly solid foundation that has been hardened by a combination of industrial use as well as academic research. So you have a lot of minds thinking about what's going to make OCaml great, what's going to keep it fast, what's going to make it safer. And it's not one organization or company doing it alone. Reason and therefore, or OCaml and therefore Reason isn't something that one company is responsible for, really. It's really a community and a collaboration between the industry, the academic research, and the open source community.
Yeah, and I know at Facebook, OCaml's use is actually more widespread than some people might think. Like, we have a programming language called Hack, right? And the backend type checker for that language is also written in OCaml as well. So it's important to know that, like, at Facebook, like, the languages that we use to develop any system or infrastructure is not necessarily baked, right? We get to make our own choices that way. And,
right.
You know, in like your case, OCaml served the right purpose for Reason. I wanted to just clarify something before I go on to my next question. So Reason wouldn't exist without React? You were saying, is that fair to say? So it's because of React that Reason could come to be, or could Reason have come to be without React even existing?
I think that it would have had a lot harder of a time. Reason would have had a harder time seeing adoption had React not taken hold first, because it did reorient people's minds about about how they should program and structure their apps. So now Reason feels a lot more natural. One of the things that we've done with Reason is we built this project called Reason React, which provides direct bindings to the JavaScript version of React through Reason development, and it feels very natural. So if we were to have if React didn't exist, this wouldn't feel so natural when you're using Reason to build React apps. I mentioned kind of just casually, Reason compiles to JavaScript and glossed over that, but that's a really huge deal. The fact that you can take Reason code and compile it into JavaScript that doesn't look that different than what you might write by hand, and then be able to integrate with the existing JavaScript libraries like React, that's a huge sell. And now it makes using an entirely different language inside of the browser, it makes it feel like a much smaller jump. And part of that is also the philosophy that React has laid the groundwork for there and got that into people's minds and popularized. It feels like an even smaller jump to switch to Reason and Reason React.
So when you came up with the idea for Reason, the question I was going to ask now is, could what you have done with Reason have been solved with another framework or language, and like what other options did you consider? So I'm thinking, maybe is it because of the ability to compile directly into JavaScript was like the distinguishing factor that made Reason unique, or there were other options you could have used, but you decided to go with Reason instead?
Yeah, that's another great question. In fact, I was digging up some of my old backup drives and I was going through some of them, and I stumbled upon some of my earliest React experiments. And many of those React experiments, which I mentioned that I was prototyping while I was on the ads team, were not in JavaScript at all. And I was evaluating basically all the languages I could find that might be well suited to this task. And naturally, I gravitated towards the more what they call ML style languages, which are the family like OCaml, Standard ML, and Haskell. And I found some of these prototypes of React in these ML style languages, dating far before React's release. And I saw this archaeological dig of all the different things I had tried along the way, which is cool to stumble upon. And so I did find a lot of challenges with the existing languages at that time. And there's a reason why we open sourced React in JavaScript. At the time that I was doing these experiments, none of the other alternatives, including OCaml, had really had a great compile to JS story. Or if OCaml did, I wasn't really aware of it, or I hadn't found it. So, but if you fast forward now to about 2016, 2017, the landscape is totally different. Now I see the language that you author in as a completely different choice from the runtime that you target. And that was not the case in 2010, 2011, when I was first experimenting with these ideas. If you wanted to deploy to the browser, you were writing JavaScript and that was just it. But now we have all these other options, and that's not even to mention the future of WASM, WebAssembly, right?
Do you, with Reason and, you know, its popularity in the open source community, I'd like to ask sort of where you feel Reason's impact is both there in the community and at Facebook. Like, where is, like, let's start with Facebook. Where is Reason being used at Facebook? Is there any, like, public-facing products that a Facebook consumer might be able to, that they use daily, that is written in Reason, or is it mostly for internal use, or where are we using Reason?
So one of the things that we've built at Facebook is Reason React. And that is the binding system that we have from Reason into React.js. When you're targeting JavaScript, you can use the actual React.js to build applications. And that means that you can integrate with all the existing components. So naturally, that makes it really easy for people who have an existing React application, like 90% of the UI in Facebook, for example, to be able to incrementally integrate Reason into their applications. And that's what we've done on some of our products at Facebook. The primary user of Reason on the front end right now is the Messenger product. So Messenger.com is almost entirely built in Reason, except for some of the shared page infrastructure that handles page loading. Another use case that we have for Reason inside of Facebook right now that we're using in production is my team, the ads team. We're using Reason natively to build developer tools and build systems for organizing, analyzing large JavaScript applications. Ads has some of the biggest JavaScript applications at the company and some of the most complicated ones. And so we use Reason build tools compiled natively to analyze all of that.
So before I get to like where Reason's out, used out in the community, what you said actually leads me into this question. So I touched on this before. Facebook has a bunch of languages that it uses, right? We've invented Hack. We've invented languages like Flow and Reason that we're talking about now. And then there's off-the-shelf languages, right? Like Python, C++, and those type of things. How does Facebook decide like what languages would be best to solve any problem? Like why was Reason chosen to implement Messenger versus Hack or some other language? Like, is there a process, or is it just, you know, whatever team is dedicated to doing that work gets to decide, you know, what's the best language to use to implement something?
Well, you kind of mentioned it earlier, but often the teams are responsible for deciding what they want to support and use, and there's not going to be one tool that's perfect for every job. And so at the time in 2009 or 2010, OCaml was a really unlikely candidate for like a big company to adopt for some of its infrastructure like Hack and Flow and other things that used it. But we did it, and we did it effectively. And I think the fact that those teams were able to make these independent choices and support that the company gives that flexibility was part of the reason why these projects were able to scale up to their size that they did during that phase of our company's growth. So yeah, so teams do get to decide, but on the other hand, if you're using a new technology, you do have to support a lot of that infrastructure yourself. So they have to weigh that against the positives and the benefits that they get for that.
Yeah.
But I definitely agree that there's just not going to be one language or one tool that fits everybody's use cases.
Right. Well, it's amazing, right? Because, you know, Messenger is written in Reason, and, you know, the Blue app or the main Facebook app is probably written in a bunch of other languages, you know, but you still can get maybe this unified experience across all of our apps. So you wouldn't necessarily know, right, that there's a bunch of different technologies and a bunch of different programming languages that we use to build them. It's just they're all unified together, and, you know, the consumer or whoever uses these things they wouldn't know that, hey, you know, I can tell this is written in Reason, or I can tell that, you know, the Facebook.com has Hack on the back end or whatever. So yeah, that's like another interesting thing about our company. Like, it, even though we use a bunch of disparate technologies, you can't really tell. And that's what makes it the flexibility so awesome. That's at least my opinion. So, in the community, do you know of any major projects or products where Reason is used, you know, outside of Facebook?
Yeah, there's a lot of people that are using Reason in production to build and deploy Reason React applications. Some of those are even released to the iOS and Android app stores, because Reason does integrate with the existing, your existing JavaScript applications, and Reason React makes that easy to do inside of a React application. Because of that, people can build React Native applications as well. And so that's another thing that people are doing and deploying to production. Other people, I have also heard of people using Reason on the back end, along with their OCaml native stacks, to build servers and high-performance systems on the back end.
Excellent.
There's also some really cool projects. There's also some really cool projects that are either at various stages of the life cycle, and some of them are just getting started now that are really exciting. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how projects like Reverie and Brisk come along and reshape how people build desktop applications natively. Reverie is another cool project that has gotten a lot of attention in such a short amount of time. And its goals are to build something like the Electron experience for developing applications, but purely natively without a browser and without any JavaScript virtual machine. So that means that they're using Reason to draw directly to some cross-platform drawing layer, and using some text layout, like text layout and shaping like HerfBuzz and FreeType, to be able to deliver a seamless cross-platform experience without having any JavaScript VM at all.
So your response there actually made me think of something. For these folks that I know outside of Facebook that are using Reason, are they using it organically, or are you pursuing them with, you know, information about Reason? I mean, or is it just, are people just knowing about Reason just because it's part of our portfolio and they want to go off and try it? Like, are these organic efforts, or are they sort of, you try to pursue folks to use Reason for various reasons?
Well, like I mentioned, you know, Reason is not really a one company thing, because at the very least, because it builds on top of this solid decades old infrastructure of the OCaml compiler and type system, which requires interacting with all these different companies and different projects in open source and even academia. So that network of people collaborating together naturally lets people self-organize into these projects. And yeah, we do sometimes call out when somebody's doing something really cool and try to encourage other people to follow along and contribute. But for the most part, the Discord channel where we organize and discuss what we built. There's a channel the Discord server is the ReasonML server, and there's a channel called Look What I Built, and people share what they're working on, and other people can join in and collaborate, and sometimes people might take it a different direction, and then they join back later and share the common parts. But it's a very active and lively community of people self-organizing to figure out what to build together.
Yeah, and that requires dedication on the part of yourself and other folks who develop Reason to be dedicated to community management, right? And because you set up these channels on Discord, and because you talk about it maybe at conferences and those sort of things, this community grows and then can sort of feed off each other and, you know, talk about what things to build. And yeah.
So that's another important part about community management. And one of the things that's coming up pretty soon in April is the ReasonConf 2019. We've already had a successful ReasonConf in 2018, and we're carrying that forward into the next year. And along with that, there's several meetups all across the world for Reason developers to get together and OCaml developers to get together and coordinate on projects and share what they're building. And it's a very active and lively community. And I think this is actually very important for Reason. One of the things that's becoming very clear to me is that certain kinds of technologies need to be community focused. And I think that programming languages is one of those that especially benefits from having network effects. And so Reason is acknowledging that, and it's embracing the community as a very high priority.
Hello, this is Pascal.
And this is Mihaela.
And we are the hosts of the Inside Facebook Mobile podcast. Every month, we talk to engineers, designers, and managers.
Product managers, program managers, and even engineering managers.
We explore how products are built.
The unique challenges we face while building mobile apps at Facebook scale.
And we don't shy away from going really deep into the technical weeds.
If you want to learn about the history of Facebook Home and Instagram Stories,
how we release each of our apps once a week,
and many other topics, subscribe to us on all podcasting platforms by searching for Inside Facebook Mobile.
So Reason has a package manager called SE.
Easy.
What?
Yeah.
Is it easy? I've always called it SE.
Either way.
Sorry. Easy. No, I want to call it the right way. Easy's better. What is Easy and why do we have another package manager?
Okay. So if Reason is React the language, then Easy is React the package manager. So a lot of this, in the same way that the values of React are brought over into the language level with Reason, the values and philosophies of React are brought over into Easy as a package manager. So Easy is a new package manager for use with Reason Native or OCaml Native or Native C code even. And one of the cool things about it is that it feels a lot like NPM in that it's accessible to JavaScript developers, but it's meant for native programming languages and compiled programming languages first and foremost. And so if you're building a new package manager, the things that you would do for compiled languages are actually very different than the things that you would do if you're building a package manager for scripting languages. And so Easy builds in first-class support for compiled and native programming languages, like Reason Native, OCaml Native, C++ Native.
Do you have any idea of how many Easy packages there are out there in the wild now? Or is it mostly being used internally? Or is there any?
Well, that's an interesting question because, the feature list is really long for what Easy provides. But one of the things that it does is that it actually combines two completely separate different package ecosystems. OPAM, which is OCaml's native package manager, and NPM for JavaScript packages. So as far as I know, it might be the first package manager that actually successfully and seamlessly integrates two separate package ecosystems into one tool. Ah. And what's cool about that is that you can even host native source code, C packages, C++ packages on NPM and consume them from Easy. And then Easy will make sure that they're built in a reliable, reproducible manner. One of the things that I mentioned about, I kind of described Easy as React the package manager in that it shares a lot of the same values and philosophies as React. It's not just a talking point. It's the reality is that it really does compose the package graph and the build environment in an immutable manner. So it has a package cache, it has a build cache where all of your built packages go into and they're not touched and they're immutable in that location. Now, when we want to build a new application, we almost act as if we rebuild the entire package graph from scratch every single time you hit the one Easy button. And in doing so, it doesn't actually do it from scratch. It just feels like you're doing that, but we've made it really fast by structurally sharing the results of previous package builds to construct your next build. So in the same way that with React, you don't go and mutate something in place. What you do is you make a new version of your UI with the changes applied on top. Well, it's the same thing with Easy and package management. You don't go and mutate a package build anywhere. You reconstruct a new package build from all your existing ones, but with an additional one layered on top. And then we make that really, really fast. And the goal of Easy is that you should be able to clone any project from GitHub and hit one button, and then it should reliably, reproducibly build everything you need. Install and build everything you need in order to build that package and run that application on any platform, Windows, Linux, or Mac.
Does Easy have any relationship? Are they complementary or are they contradictory with Yarn, which is another package manager that we really contributed to?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Easy is many of the things that Easy does is influenced, inspired directly by Yarn, and Yarn gets a lot of credit for example, Easy supports the resolutions field. That is directly gotten from Yarn. Easy supports Yarn's exact plug-and-play architecture standard. That is directly gotten from Yarn. And so in the ways that it does interact with the JavaScript ecosystem, which isn't its main focus, it is absolutely inspired from Yarn.
And if would you, let's say you're in the JavaScript ecosystem, would you tell anyone to use Easy over Yarn for package management, or does it matter? Would there be a benefit?
No, I wouldn't do that because Easy is focused on native builds.
Yeah.
But the idea is that if you do use Yarn, you should be able to easily go over to a native project and know your way around the project. So Easy uses a package.json configuration a lot like Yarn uses. And so the jump there from going from a JS project to a native one should be very small, and it should feel very natural and familiar. That's not to say that you should use Easy for JavaScript package management. We want to be able to at least support pulling in packages from NPM if you want to host a native package there, because that's the easiest place to go and push code to right now. You already have an NPM account. You have a NPM scope. Everybody knows how to use that tool. So we want to let people host native source code there that gets compiled on host when you depend on that and pull that in. But that's very different than using Easy to build your JavaScript application. We do want to be able to support pulling in some JavaScript dependencies when you're building an app that can compile to native or JavaScript. We want to be able to support that with when using Easy as that tool. But it's definitely not the main focus.
All right. So Reason, React, very popular. They are going to have staying power, at least in my opinion. Where do you see these two projects in 1 year, 3 years, 10 years? I mean, you can take them both separately to answer that question, you know, where you see React in the future and where you see Reason in the future, or if you see if there's some sort of combined answer for that question between both of the projects. I just kind of want to see where you envision these two projects going.
Well, first I'd like to answer that with them both together. I think that if the direction that React takes with hooks really takes off and people really like that, which they seem to, then I think the integration between Reason and React is a lot more natural, because that bridge is, in a sense, React is becoming a little more functional and resembling of like Reason React in the direction we were going to be evolving that anyway. So the two programming philosophies seem to be going even closer, even though they were already really close. So that's nice. That's it's going to be an even smaller jump for people to be able to use Reason for their React applications in that event. Separately, Reason, I would like to see a much more, in the next year, a much more streamlined and fully integrated IDE experience. So right now, there's multiple good options for getting started with the IDE and the way that it interacts with the build environment. But I would like to see that come much closer together with projects like Language Service Protocol. LSP is this really great protocol that a lot of IDEs are adopting that make it so that people can easily extend the IDE with new programming language support. Just by implementing one set of APIs, you can instantly get all this, you unlock all the support for all the different editors and IDEs out there. I think it's great. So I'd like to see even better integration with LSP in the next year. And I'd like to see better integration with the package manager and LSP so that all the environments are perfectly set up in the same way that when you clone an Easy project and you hit the one button, everything is just guaranteed to work. I want to see that happen for the IDE support as well.
Okay, that's great. You mentioned IDE. VS Code is, you know, one of my more favorite IDEs that I use. When you were talking LSP, are you considering mostly like VS Code as the the main artifact to utilize as the IDE to utilize for LSP with Reason, or are you thinking like other IDEs like Sublime or just any IDE out there?
Well, personally, I'm a Vim diehard. So I don't think you'll ever be able to pry Vim from my hands. Like, I don't know if there's anything anybody can do. LSP, the beauty of LSP is that when people build these great tools for their various languages, including Reason or other languages, it's great that as a Vim user, I'm not left out from that. And that's the power of LSP, is that people can implement one server for their tool, and now it works in all the editors, including VS Code. And I think it's interesting to think about and just like ponder how it is that VS Code has gotten to be so popular by using a protocol that supposedly should help other editors, right?
Right.
There's an interesting dynamic there where they built this protocol that is in a way kind of selfless, yet it ends up benefiting VS Code tremendously in popularity. So I think that that's a really great illustration of why open source can be so powerful, and protocols and standards and conventions can be so powerful and can help and can actually help your project. I think LSP is a really great invention, and I appreciate it as a Vim user especially. And the work that we're going to be doing on Reason and OCaml and Merlin, which is the IDE completion engine that we use, that should benefit everybody in every editor.
And you mentioned that we're not going to pry Vim out of your cold, dead hands. If anyone knows anything about Facebook, there's always a argument going on what the best IDE is or editor to use.
Wait, isn't that settled? I don't understand why even have it. Why even have that conversation?
No, that's right. I mean, I use Vim a little bit. I'm more of a, you know, GUI type IDE person. So I do like VS Code. I like Nuclide a lot. But if, you know, just for people listening, there's great debates about the best editor to use, even within Facebook. There's Vim, Emacs. I think some people even use Nano.
Hey, you know, on that note, there is a really cool product in the Reason community right now called Reverie, which I actually mentioned this earlier. It's a new startup. It's a new project with the aim of creating an Electron without the JavaScript engine, without the DOM. And so what Reverie is doing is building this cross-platform abstractions for rendering user interfaces and building applications. And one of the flagship use cases for that is actually an editor called Oni. Oni is already one of the more popular or most popular NeoVim GUIs. And Oni V2 is going to be using Reason and Reverie to implement a very fast, efficient native GUI interface to NeoVim. And so it's kind of combining the two things that you said that you use occasionally, the GUI side of VS Code, but also with a Vim backing, so that people who do want Vim key bindings can opt into that. And if you don't want Vim key bindings, it shouldn't feel like you're using Vim or like you're forced into using Vim.
So I will ask you this question. Are you going to move from Vim to Reverie?
To Oni 2, I could definitely be convinced because it has, authentic Vim key bindings.
Yeah. So then it has to be a good project then, right? Because
yeah, I mean, it combines all these, like Vim, you've got Reason, like what isn't to like from my perspective.
So Reverie is the one tool that might be able to pry Vim from your cold, dead hands.
Yeah, it could unlock that possibility.
Possibly. Cool. All right. So every podcast, I like to ask my guests about how they got started in open source, like what their first commit was, or what pull request did they send to any given repo. Do you recall like what your start in open source was and when, what project it was for?
Yeah. So one of the reasons why I joined Facebook was because it had this small but earnest attempt at open source at the time, around 2010. People think of like React as like the reboot of open source for Facebook, but we did attempt it before, and maybe we didn't do the best job then, but still the fact that they even tried, that attracted me to Facebook. It was one of the things that convinced me to want to join, aside from also really appreciating the mission of the company. So open source can be a great recruiting tool in that sense. But I wasn't involved in open source at that time, even though I was really excited about the possibility that I could participate in open source. So I hadn't done any open source before coming to Facebook. And I think the first commit that I publicly committed was the first version of the React philosophy. Was like Fax.js. It's this funny like little library that basically implements the virtual DOM and the React reconciler and the some parts of the component model, but not the most important ones. So that would probably be my first commit, and it was weird because I'd never done it before, and I launched this project, and I think I got like maybe 10 stars or something, and like I was super excited about that, and it was a really cool experience.
So yours was a full blown project that you put out there as your first thing. A lot of people start with like a typo in a piece of documentation, or maybe optimizing a little piece of code somewhere, but yours was its own repo that could be starred
I think so. I can't remember. I should look that up. I might have sent a readme fix or something, but it was probably Fax.js.
Fax.js is probably a little more on top of mind for you anyway, right? Some people might forget a quick change to a readme or something. Excellent. Yeah. Okay. Let's move on a little bit from, the main topics at hand of Reason and React. Let's just talk a little bit about yourself. If you weren't doing what you were doing now, like if you weren't inventing React, if you weren't inventing Reason, what's your other passion? Do you have any other passions? Like what do you think you'd be where you'd be at?
I think that if I wasn't doing React and Reason and things that are closer to the application stack, I would probably be experimenting with electronics and building out hardware or something like that.
Is that your sort of your hobby, like outside the office?
No, it's not a hobby at all, but it's definitely interesting to me. And there's just a lot of things that I think you could do at the hardware level. Maybe something in chip design or doing something to bring the hardware closer to the application. Another thing I think I would be doing if I wasn't building React or Reason would probably be working on something closer to the editor, like something like the Vim internals or rendering or something in graphics.
So outside the office, right, what is your favorite hobby? What's your favorite activity? Is it skiing? It could be writing more code for personal projects. What do you like to do when you're not working?
I like to eat really good food.
Us too. At least people at Facebook seem to like to do that. We have a lot of food around here. Yeah. I imagine you eating really good food is probably outside the company as well, not just at Facebook. Okay, that's a fair answer. Well, this has been a great conversation. I literally learned a ton about Reason that I didn't know before, especially that your package manager was called Easy and not SE. And I apologize for getting that name wrong.
It's fine. That's a relatively new project. It's just kind of hot off the press anyway. So
yeah, that's going to be my excuse that it's new and it hasn't been out there for ages and I've been calling it SE for all this time. Am I supposed to call it GIF or JIF, right? What's the right way?
Yeah.
But I really appreciate you coming on the podcast and having this conversation with me. I think a lot of people didn't really know the relationship between React and Reason and how they sort of interact together. And I think it's going to give a lot of people a lot of insight on why these two really popular projects were invented. So I really appreciate you spending the time with us. And yeah, thanks again.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yep. You're welcome.
Hi, this is Joel Marcy, creator and host of The Diff. If you liked what you heard today, tell your friends. Like it, share it, review it. Get us heard. Learn more about our program at opensource.facebook.com. And if the content you heard today or from any of our podcasts piqued your interest, check out facebook.com/careers to learn more about the challenges we're solving in running an open source program at scale. I'm out.